Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
And welcome to Today's Issues. Ed Fattagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week. I am joined in studio by Fred Jackson, who's News Director for American Family News and One News Now. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning. Glad to be living in the South and not in the Northeast. My goodness.
Yeah, we got some. I want to talk about that for a little bit because they're getting hammered up there, or about to, aren't they? Or
about to. Yeah. Starting at 2 o'clock tomorrow morning, 18 inches to 24 inches, 2 feet of snow. And they thought winter was over.
What's the old expression? March comes in like a lion goes out like a lamb. Is that the old expression?
That's the old expression, yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's lion's still hanging around. Walker Wildman, assistant to the president, is in studio with us. How are you doing, Walker?
Good morning. Good Monday morning.
Yes, good Monday morning. And, yeah, some nasty weather. Look on the horizon for them. They've been eyeballing this for days now, haven't they?
Well, there's been kind of a train of bad weather that's come down out of Canada. So we'll blame those Canadians.
Yeah.
It's always their fault. There's been some incredible pictures. I think there was a house, like a cottage on Lake Ontario. I don't know if folks have seen that picture. But the spray off of the lake onto the house was freezing. So you have the whole front of this cottage, this house, that's just packed. It's covered with ice. It's like a statue that you used to see at the old winter carnivals, you know, at high schools, and they'd make these various statues of from snow and ice. But this house is just covered. So there's been this ban of storms, but this is the worst one they're expecting. And as we know, the storms in the Northeast affect the whole country, especially when it comes to the airline business.
Right.
Because they started yesterday, most of the major airlines canceling flights. And so that has an impact across the country.
Yeah, ripple effect.
You add on top of that, it's March break.
Yes, spring break.
For a lot of folks this week. So can you imagine if you were planning to leave New York today?
To go to
Florida or down to the Caribbean somewhere. And you've been planning this and the kids have been packing their luggage. And daddy has to say, there ain't no planes flying, kids. So we're going to stay home and build snowmen. How about that?
Oh, man, that would be – yeah, now that you talk about a crimp in your plans.
Oh, man.
And that it's good for the car rental business, though. I'm sure a lot of people saying, no, well, we're going to try to rent a car and get out of town before the nasty weather hits.
Head south. But, you know, even here in the deep south on Saturday night, there were parts just north of where we're based here in Tupelo – their cars were covered with snow on Sunday morning. So it did get down this far south.
Well, we've got a couple of days this week that are supposed to low is in the 20s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and this a lot of people sick around the ministry here out with colds and the crud and some with flu. I think this is probably an old wives' tale, but people always attribute it to the weather and the change in weather because it's been up in the 80s, and now you're going down, you know, into the 20s as a low. I don't know if it actually makes you sick, but the colds and the crud kind of parallel those changes in temperature. So,
exactly. And here in the South, we've all been kind of bragging about it. We've had no winter.
Right.
There's been no winter. Mm-hmm. The 20 years I've lived here, this is incredible. And I've talked to people who lived here all their lives, and they've never seen a winter like this.
Right.
Yeah.
In fact, one of the guys from the newsroom, he's taking this week off, March break. He was going camping with his kids.
Ooh.
Locally, he's going camping with his kids.
But I have a big fire.
Well, that's it exactly.
Yeah.
You know, I told people my camping days were over but when I was through with the military. That's
right.
It.
Yeah.
I don't want to go camping anymore.
it's not a rest or a
give me a hotel, motor home, something like that.
I'm with you.
No tents. Out of this tent business.
Yeah, well, down here in the South, we beg for snow. Up north, they're like, get rid of it.
Yeah.
When is summer?
Let's even things out a little bit. Send some of it our way.
It would be nice to have a couple inches of snow here. We haven't had any snow this year.
Yeah, it's been a very, very mild winter, not very much cold weather at all. Mm-hmm. Hey, Walker, before I forget, let our listeners know. I mean, they can if they want. They can watch us.
They can.
They can. We have a couple of cameras in here. I don't know why people would want to watch us, but
free.
They can if they want.
Yeah.
But we also post some of these stories on Facebook. Tell our listeners about that.
Yeah, if any of our listeners want to watch the show, they can go to the Today's Issues Facebook page and watch the show there on Facebook Live, Today's Issues. Also, you can read each story that we discuss here on the Today's Issues page and click through, read all the stories, all the details, the nitty-gritty of the news of the day.
Well, before we get to some of the news that Fred has brought for us and for our listeners, I do want to call attention to our listeners. We're adding a new text service for our AFR listeners, American Family Radio Text Updates. You can receive our weekly updates at just one per week via text directly to your phone by texting MyAFR to this number, 41411, to stay informed on the latest from AFR. Not everyone is always near their email, but this is a text message just about one per week, I think, is what we're going to be talking about. You can receive your weekly updates from American Family Radio. My AFR, text that to 41411. All right, Fred. Let's get to some. Enough talking about snowmen and and snow angels and all the nice things we have in life. Let's talk some ugly political realities, shall we?
Well, one of the big stories this morning has to do with President Trump's decision, like other presidents before him, Republican and Democrat. And basically, they release all of the U.S. attorneys. There are 93, I think, of them across the country. They are appointed. Each president who comes in appoints his batch of U.S. attorneys.
Right.
And it is common practice that a new president comes in. Okay, you folks are in that position. You're gone. I'm appointing some new ones. Late last week, the story that broke was of the mix of 93 or 94 of these U.S. attorneys, a bunch of them had already resigned because they know their job is up. 46 appointees were asked to resign last week. They hadn't done so voluntarily, so they were asked to resign. Well, the big story out of all of this that's up there this morning is one of these attorneys from New York, the Southern District of New York. His name is Preet Bharara. I believe that's the way he pronounced his last name. He has been making news late through the weekend and again today that he had been told, he said, by President Trump that he could stay on in this. And he is indignant because he was going to refuse to resign. And he said now he's been fired. Well, Preet Bharara, we shouldn't be surprised he's being fired. He is partisan Democrat. In fact, his name, we were told, was on the short list to replace Attorney General Eric Holder.
You can't get any more liberal than Eric Holder.
Yeah. No. Loretta Lynch eventually got that job. He is donated to Hillary Clinton's campaign, et cetera, et cetera. Also, reaching back a little bit, he was very much involved with the Dinesh D'Souza case. Now, Dinesh D'Souza, he produced that movie last year, Hillary's America. Mm-hmm. A lot of people in our audience would be familiar with that. But back several years ago, he got in trouble with the law and was charged with making an illegal political donation. The attorney, the U.S. attorney that was involved with that case was, guess who? Preet Bharara. Now, here's Dinesh D'Souza. He was interviewed on Fox this morning with a little bit of background on that case and how much Preet Bharara was involved with that.
A congressional oversight committee has been trying to get a copy of my case file now for well over a year, And Barrera's office, as well as the Obama administration, had been blocking it, basically saying this is an ongoing case. But of course, my case ended in 2014. So finally, Congress now has the case file. And it's very interesting because it kind of is a revealing window into Barrera's way of doing business. The first thing that's highlighted inside my case file is I'm a conservative. I'm a prominent critic of the Obama administration. Now, this should be completely irrelevant in the decision about whether to prosecute me. It should be beside the point. But of course, in Barrera's case, it was the point. So there's evidence in this case file, and there's a lot more, that this was a political prosecution conducted by Barrera as a henchman for the Obama administration.
So there you have it. Basically, what Dinesh D'Souza was, his with the law coming down on him, was all about politics and his conservative politics.
Well, and even some media outlets who have been basically outraged about what Trump has done have been forced to concede that both President Obama and President Clinton, Bill Clinton, did the same thing. It should not be seen as something uncommon. You want, especially in the Attorney General's office, you want people who are going to represent your policy if you're president. You don't want people undermining you in court. We've all seen the examples of either on the left or the right of attorney generals making decisions about whether to defend a state law in court based on their own political views about those laws. So it shouldn't be a shock for a president to do what other presidents have done. And the fact that the media pounces on this and has been so negative about it, Walker, just seems to show the hypocrisy of the media and the fact that they really are more and more acting like a political arm of the Democratic Party.
Yeah, they are. And really, the way this gentleman, I'm not even going to try to pronounce his last name, but the way he's acted about this whole situation proves why he needs to be gone. Because if you're such a political hack that you want to stay around, even though the president, the commander-in-chief, has respectfully asked you to resign, which is way better than being fired on your resume, but he chose to be fired as kind of a martyr, that just proves he needed to be gone. He's a political hack. He doesn't have enough respect for the office to resign when the commander-in-chief and the attorney general ask you to. And so they're acting like this is somehow news, that a new administration is putting in new people in positions. I mean, this is typical. And also, you can't... the U.S. Attorney's offices are very high positions with a lot of power. And with what's going on in D.C. right now, Trump needs people, and Attorney General Sessions need people who they can trust in these positions. And so I think this is a smart move. Really, they should have done this on day one, but it's good that they're getting to it now.
You know, Fred, one of the things that's happened is I think ABC's David Wright is one of the people who have kind of spun this, having been forced to admit that both President Obama and President Clinton have done the same thing in the past. ABC's David Wright said, okay, yeah, maybe it's been done in the past. I'm paraphrasing here. But the Trump administration's already embroiled in scandals and controversies regarding the Attorney General's office. So they start with the presumption of guilt.
Yes.
This is what I believe. In their hearts, they believe President Trump is guilty of being elected as president because of collusion with the Russians. And that has driven the narrative for the media since President Trump's election. And now that they are out there pitching that story as almost as if it is a fact, now they're coloring everything else with the news that they basically continue to create.
They continue to create, and that is the operative word here. They're creating negative news. They've been, Fox this morning has been playing a clip of Janet Reno, who is the attorney general for Bill Clinton. And the reporter was saying 93 attorneys gone today. They lost their job today. It didn't make big news at all because that is the norm. And Preet Bharara, he's out there saying, well, President Trump apparently had a meeting with him back in, I'm not sure if it was after
during the transition.
During the transition. Yeah. And he said, Trump said I could keep my job. Well, President Trump has the right to change his mind.
Right, yeah.
So if he wants to, he'll change his mind. Here's the problem, too. One of the things that the reasons why these attorneys have to go that were appointed by Barack Obama. One of the things that went out, one of the directives that went out, is not to uphold immigration laws. They were told, turn the other way.
Right.
Don't uphold the country's immigration laws. That's the power of the president to tell these attorneys, I don't want you spending time on immigration laws because I have a different approach. Even though the laws are on the books, I don't want you carrying out. I don't want you prosecuting those laws. So that is why these attorneys have to stop, because President Trump has a very different view on how he wants to handle illegal immigration than Barack Obama did. Mm-hmm. So that's just one example as to why all of this happens.
Yeah. Well, this is going to be ongoing. This is 8 years of President Obama. You've got a lot of people who are secular progressives entrenched in the D.C. bureaucracy and in the administration. Basically, you're talking about people beneath Jeff Sessions as attorney general, people who have been in office for a while. They get their own ideas of what they should do, what they're going to do. And it's very difficult. There's been some, comments about the transition for the Trump administration, the longest transition on record or in history. Well, that is because of the Democrats stalling. Chuck Schumer, Senator Chuck Schumer, who leads the minority in the Senate for the Democrats, he basically said, we are going to resist every step of the way. And so, for a president who's going to have 4 years, maybe eight in office, he has a right to have the people he wants in office. So this is just, I think for conservatives, you're just going to have to get used to the fact that the media is going to spin everything as a hostile force, for the most part, not everybody, but for the most part, a hostile force that is going to represent the ideology of the Democratic Party and continually attack the Republican Party that happens to be in charge. All right, what else we got?
Well, here's another story to watch today, and you provide a very good backdrop. We're in the business these days. One of our business here is going to warn our audience about what they're likely to see in media spin. And another story that's coming out, the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, is going to come out with its analysis as early as today on the replacement for Obamacare, all right? And it's expected to conclude, the CBO analysis, that fewer Americans will have health coverage under the proposal. So that's going to be your headline out there, folks. Please be aware. One of the big reasons fewer people will have health coverage is because they don't want it. Under this new plan, unlike Obamacare dictated, mandated, that you had to buy insurance or you would be fined, all right? So, yeah, there's going to be people, these young people, one of the problems that Obamacare ran into, their supposition was when they brought in the law in 2009, is that young people out there, people in university, young people, healthy people for the most part, you know what? They're going to buy insurance. They're going to be real excited because, after all, they voted for me. That's what President Obama said. Mm-hmm. They all love me. They're going to do this. Not so. Young people, for the most part, were willing to pay the, I think it was a $300 fine versus paying $300 a month,
right,
for close to $4,000 a year for insurance premiums. They just said, nah, we love you, Barack Obama, but we're not going to pay $4,000 a year for health insurance. We really don't need. Mm-hmm. We've come to that conclusion. So, it is not going to be surprising, and again, we're just warning you folks, you're going to see the headlines, millions of people are going to be without insurance. Well, millions of people are going to decide, I don't want insurance. I don't want to be part of this. So be aware of that today, those headlines that are going to be out there. Now, when it comes down to cost and all of these sorts of things, this debate is continuing even inside the Republican Party as to Medicaid costs and basically phasing out some of the subsidies that have been in place. The tax credits are going to come in place. But you're going to see a lot today about this CBO analysis. And the headline is going to be, as Brother Don says through the years, if I was a betting man, the headline is going to be, as millions of Americans are going to be left without health insurance. For the most part, it's going to be folks who say, I don't need it.
And, that presupposition about young people buying buying into the healthcare system. That was the presupposition on the part of President Obama and the Democrats, who passed Obamacare without a single Republican vote. That presupposition was how they planned on keeping everybody's premiums low, because you'd have all this money coming into the system from young people who primarily are healthy that would pay for the health care of those who are sick or who, as they age, need to access health care even more. So when those young people said, I'm not going to buy insurance I don't need, I'll pay the fine, that is part of, at least part of the reason why Obamacare was in such trouble. In fact, Speaker Paul Ryan, who's pushing his own version of replacement for Obamacare, is warning that you have to pass something because Obamacare is likely to collapse.
That's right.
And so this is, the Republicans, I'm afraid, are getting themselves in the same jam as the Obama administration and the Democrats by going for a Washington, D.C. driven health care plan that needs young people to buy in. And the fact of the matter is, unless they have it from their employer, a lot of young people just aren't buying it.
No, and I think the aim of the Republicans, at least what they promised the people during the election campaign, repeal Obamacare and basically shift things back to the private sector and open things up so that there's real competition. One of the things that happened during Obamacare was insurance companies backed away. They backed away from these exchanges, which is why, in places like Arizona, premiums went up over 100%,
right,
which is why you had deductibles. You know, here's another thing to be careful, folks. We have to keep reminding you. You hear the media saying that all of these millions of people have health insurance. No, what they have is a card from an insurance company that says you have health insurance. It doesn't talk about the deductibles,
right,
that people couldn't afford. So they're walking around. There are lots of people out there walking around with a card in their pocket or their purse, and they have health insurance. Yeah, they got health insurance, but they can't afford it. They can't afford to use it. This is what the Republicans are trying to do. They're trying to come up with a way that more people can, by having more competition amongst the insurance companies, find a way that more people can, all right, this is the insurance that I want, and mark it out, kind of parse out, all right, I also want dental insurance, so I'm going to pay extra for that. I also want catastrophic insurance, so I'm going to pay extra for that, cancer insurance, diabetes, whatever the case may be. So I will buy that because I'm a little concerned that that may happen to me. I'm getting older, that sort of thing. They want true competition. They just want, you know, to be people to be able to go out there. I want to see what six insurance companies are offering out there. Then I'll pick the best one myself. And yes, there are likely to be tax credits. Under the Paul Ryan plan, there are tax credits for those who may have financial problems getting insurance. And of course, to begin with, the Paul Ryan plan, once again, which is being debated inside the Republican Party, would continue with Medicaid levels as they are right now. So all of this is being debated, but to go back to the point that you were making, I'm sure there was some debate amongst the Democrats on Obamacare too. But the way the Democrats operate is they do that behind closed doors.
Right.
They don't have different members. I don't remember this kind of thing happening amongst the Democrats going on talk shows and saying, we're going to fight this, we're going to fight Obamacare, et cetera, et cetera. Didn't happen.
Right.
But the Republicans, they like to put the dirty laundry out there, and it is, folks.
Yeah, and of course the media highlights that,
yes.
And then the Republicans are divided, there's war internally and all those kind of things. And there's a lot of debates going on. Conservatives want one thing, you have more establishment Republicans who are opting for something else as they try to replace Obamacare with something else. Well, anyway, this is going to be an ongoing thing. Folks just get used to hearing about health care. We hear about it, I'm sure, talk about it around our kitchen tables, and they're going to be talking about it and continue to in Washington, D.C. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we will continue on discussing the issues of the day.
On the next Today's Issues, our guest will be Dr. Frank Turek of Cross Examine.
Civil disobedience is biblical. It has a very rich precedent throughout the Bible. For example, when Pharaoh ordered the Hebrew midwives to murder all Hebrew boys, the Hebrew midwives disobeyed and they even lied to the authorities about it.
Newsmen Fred Jackson and Steve Jordahl will also be in to help us make sense of the news. That's next time on Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Whoa, we have not had a response like this before. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We've been doing these spiritual heritage tours for like 20 years. We're sold out for June already, if you can believe that. We've got space left on our September tours of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon, and then Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. We call them spiritual heritage tours, and I don't know how long these September seats will last. To what do you attribute that to, someone might ask? Maybe it's the fact that we have a new person occupying the White House. Maybe that has something to do with it. But in any event, we welcome you to come with us on our September Spiritual Heritage Tour of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon and Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. Those are two separate trips. You can do both, or you can do one or the other. We'd love to have you. Go to spiritualheritagetours.com. spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and commentary next. Liberty University's in the business of training champions for Christ, the largest Christian university in the world, offering more than 500 programs of study, along with an online degree program designed for thousands of active duty and military veterans. Beyond the classroom, students meet together weekly for worship and to hear from some of the nation's leading experts in the arts, politics, and business. Liberty University, committed to academic excellence with a Christian worldview. Democrats and the mainstream media are fuming after President Trump asked for the resignations of 46 U.S. attorneys. Some are calling it a scandal, but it's not. In 1993, Attorney General Janet Reno fired every Republican U.S. attorney, 93 in a one-day sweep. President Obama did the same thing in 2009, replacing nearly every U.S. attorney appointed by President Bush. There was no breaking news coverage, no mainstream media outrage. That's because it's perfectly normal. Nothing nefarious, folks. Investigations and prosecutions will go on, and the moment a U.S. attorney leaves, the first assistant takes over, a career prosecutor. So here's the bottom line. President Trump had every right to ask for the resignations, and all of the faux outrage from the fake news regurgitators, it's a load of grade A fertilizer, the kind you can grow a crop of butter beans in. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
And welcome back. Ed Vitagliano, Fred Jackson, and Walker Wildman are your hosts today for Today's Issues here on American Family Radio, where we deal with some of the hot topics of the day. We have been talking about health care and the mess that we have. We're going to come back to that as a story here in just a little bit. But Walker, we want to look at health care from a different perspective today.
Yeah, we're going to have on today, we have on right now actually, Michael Gardner, who is Director of Marketing for MediShare. Many of you who listen to American Family Radio hear our MediShare, the MediShare spots on the radio, 30-second or one-minute spots talking about MediShare, biblical-based healthcare cost sharing. And so I'm not even going to try, Michael, to explain what MediShare is. I'm going to leave it to the professional. So tell our listeners a little bit about what MediShare is.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on today and the opportunity to talk a little bit about MediShare. MediShare at its core is a healthcare sharing ministry. And so it's a program that allows Christians to come together to share one another's healthcare bills. It's not insurance. And it's based on the idea of community. And one of the things that makes it quite different from other healthcare solutions is that it's a community of people who share directly in one another's expenses. So I know with whom I'm going to be sharing each month, and I can reach out and communicate with them. which is quite different from what people usually have as an experience with their health care. You know, I know who I'm going to help. I can communicate with them, and they can communicate back with me. And so I can pray for them, let them know that I'm thinking about them, send them notes of encouragement. And that sense of community is one of the things that I think has really led to the growth in healthcare sharing ministries in general, and MediShare in particular.
Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead, Ed.
No, I was just going to say, so, Michael, let's just use a hypothetical.
Sure.
I get in a car wreck. I break my leg. So I go to the hospital, and I get that fixed up. How does MediShare work in terms of paying those bills?
Sure. So, I mean, in a situation like that, generally, your auto insurance is going to get involved, and MediShare is going to be secondary as a solution. But for injuries, illnesses, and I think it's important for people to understand that we've had members who've had pretty serious illnesses, cancer diagnoses, and praise God, an awful lot of people who've been cured. But we've also had people with organ transplants, so some really serious things. The way that it works basically is, you seek care, you go to a provider, you show your MediShare membership card, you get the care you need, and then the provider sends the medical bills to MediShare. And so we connect members there to share in one another's medical bills. One of two things can happen. Either a member has met their financial commitment for the year and their bills get presented to other members for sharing, or they haven't yet met their financial commitment for the year. We call that an annual household portion, and then the member's responsible for that. So let me give you a personal example. I have a family of four. My wife, my two children, and myself, we're all MediShare members, and we have a monthly share amount. We pay right around $400 each month, and so I deposit that into my share account. I know if I'm going to go to the doctor, maybe I get a cold or flu, I'm going to go get medical care, and I'm going to be responsible for my medical bills until I've hit my annual household portion, which is a financial commitment that we as a family have decided we can make. So we've decided that we can pay up to $5,000 of our own medical bills, and then any bills over and above that, once I've met that commitment, get presented to the membership for sharing.
Michael, for those listening, you know, the first question that comes up in my mind is, how many markets are you guys in? You know, how many providers cover or accept MediShare as a healthcare insurance? What's
sure,
your answer to that?
Mm-hmm. Yep, we have members all over the United States. Right now, we're just shy of 280,000 members, and members have access to a network of physicians, 700,000 providers all across the United States, and that includes primary care physicians, specialist imaging centers and diagnostic centers, hospitals, certainly those types of things as well. So it's a very large network of providers that members have access to.
How have you folks as in MediShare, how has MediShare mm-hmm. been affected by the Affordable Care Act?
Well, there was an awful lot of growth in healthcare sharing ministries as the Affordable Care Act was implemented. Part of that had to do with the individual mandate to have some sort of a solution. One of the benefits of a membership in a healthcare sharing ministry is that our members are exempt from financial penalties for not having health insurance. So members are exempt from those penalties, and they are in accordance with the law. And that's something else that I think our members really truly appreciate, is the fact that they're in compliance with the requirements that have been placed upon them.
Gotcha. Well, where can our listeners go? By the way, to those listening, American Family Radio has partnered, and we have, I believe, for the past several years with MediShare. And so, you know, of course, we approve it. It's a great biblical-based MediShare medical healthcare cost-sharing system. And where can our listeners go if they want to read more or maybe look into it for their family?
Sure. We would encourage people to either check us out online. Our website is mychristiancare.org, or they're certainly always welcome to call us. We have a toll-free number, 1-800-PSALM-23, and we have representatives who can answer questions, explain what it might look like for a particular family situation, and we're happy to answer any of those questions.
So that's mychristiancare.com, is that correct?
Sorry, mychristiancare.org.
.org, okay. And what was the phone number one more time?
1-800-PSALM-23.
1-800-PSALM-23. All right, Michael, thank you for coming on.
Thanks for the time. Have a great day.
All right. Thank you, Michael. Well, you know, this is Fred. People, healthcare is such a huge concern for mm-hmm. Americans.
It is.
And because it is so expensive, for a variety of reasons, we don't delve into all that. It's very complicated. A lot of moving parts, a lot of interconnectedness, but it's a big topic on a lot of people's well, it's on their minds mm-hmm. because you just go, I can't afford to get sick. You know, like you said, you know, with Obamacare, for a lot of people, they have a card that says I'm insured, but they got to pay the first, you know, X number of thousand, you know, their deductibles in the thousands. And so that's coming out of their, not only are they paying per month for their premiums, they've got a lot of money at the outset. Every year it starts back over. So it's a pretty big concern.
Well, it's unfortunately in this country, healthcare is a reality. We're all going to need it at some point. You know, you're a young married couple and the first baby's coming along.
Right.
You know, mom's going to go in even for a day you know, that's going to cost some money. If you have, a little bit of skin cancer problem on your leg, you got to go in and have a procedure done.
Right.
So it's a reality. It's one of those things. It's like groceries. You're going to need it at some point. The issue is with healthcare, health insurance in this country, it's gotten out of hand because of a lot of different forces. Number one, liability insurance. Court cases, you know, that.
You know, you're talking about the hospitals and the doctors and the surgeons.
Exactly. It's gotten out of hand. I remember the story back a few years ago where a GP, a general practitioner, his office was paying over $200,000 a year for liability insurance. So that's gotten out of hand, and many people have proposed putting a cap on that sort of thing. Now, if a doctor is really, really negligent in his care, there ought to be something in the way, you know, you're going to lose your license.
Right.
But when you're talking about, you know, somebody goes in and they want a particular procedure and the doctor goes through and says, this is what we're going to try to do. Here are the possibilities.
These are the risks.
These are the risks in this. But you decide to go ahead with it. Right now, if something does go wrong, one of those risks becomes a reality, then people are being taken to court. You know, doctors being taken to court, clinics being taken to court. That's been driving up the cost of health care. The other thing that has happened, and one of the things that the Republicans are trying to address, is that for some reason there hasn't been competition across state lines. In other words, you live in Alabama. I can't go after an insurance company that's based in Colorado.
Right.
I can't buy my insurance from them. So that has limited competition. When you limit competition, you drive up the price. So all of those things need to be looked into to bring healthcare costs down.
Here's another thing. We talked about this a little bit during the break. We were talking about young people who don't want insurance. They don't want to pay for it because they figure out nothing's going to happen to me. That's probably human nature for a lot of us. Limited income, they're paying their college debts off. You know, they say, well, I'm going to pay that off. Then maybe I'll get insurance. You're talking about people who are in the country illegally. Let's just say that people go to the hospital with a need and they don't have insurance for whatever reason. Well, that has to be paid by somebody. And sometimes the hospital will write those things off. But generally speaking, the costs of those who don't have insurance are paid by those who do. So that drives up the cost for those who have insurance. So that's an additional reason why costs sometimes are elevated. And I'm not sure how you get around those things. I'm just not smart enough. And this is somebody spends their life studying this issue. I mean, you're almost like being a lawyer. You spend your whole life studying the law. You keep up with every new little thing that comes up. This law's passed. That, you know, if you're a tax consultant or an accountant, people spend their whole lives studying this one issue because it's that complicated.
Yeah, it is.
What else we got?
Well, health related still. This was a story that popped up over the weekend. And it's the kind of thing, GOP-sponsored bill may help companies obtain your genetic information.
Yeah, this is a scary story.
It is a scary story. And basically it involves that in order to get insurance, say you have a wellness program at your place of business, what happens is that the employer can demand, even what I understand from a potential employee, we want to test your genetic background. In other words, you know, a testing there that may show that your family has a history of cancer or diabetes or something of that nature. And we want to know that up front. And the, here's the what I believe. And again, this is being sponsored by a Republican, Congresswoman Virginia Fox, a Republican from North Carolina. She is the chairwoman of the House Committee on Education and the Workforce. When I read this, I was talking to my wife about this during the weekend. It's a further intrusion, and we've had people on the air worried about privacy issues. It's a further intrusion into your background. And the purpose being is to, the potential purpose at least, is to weed out, even before a person is hired, let's say that you have diabetes in your family. Okay, we're not going to hire you because if we do, we're going to be charged a higher premium by our health insurance company that covers us or at work. So all of a sudden, the potential for you as a family member to get diabetes is enough to put a marker on you. And it goes back to the whole issue, you know, the HIPAA laws that have been put in place, the privacy of your health care. Is it the government's business, is it company's business to know that you may have the potential to get something, and then they decide to penalize you for that potential?
Or not hire you at all.
Or not hire you at all. Mm-hmm. And this story from Fox News, and you can go and read this on One News Now. We urge the committee not to move forward with the consideration of this bill, and this is from Nancy J. Cox. She's the president of the American Society of Human Genetics. As longtime advocates of genetic privacy, we instead encourage the committee to pursue ways to foster workplace wellness and employee health without infringing upon the civil rights afforded by the ADA and GINA, those two bodies. She said if enacted, the bill would, quote, fundamentally undermine the Genetic Information Non-Discrimination Act and the Americans with Disabilities Act. And what she's saying is just what we've been talking about. When the, if you have to provide that kind of information, it puts a mark on you. And as you say, it may forbid you from being hired at all. Or if you are hired, you, particular employee, are going to pay more for your health premiums than somebody else. And this is, when I read this, this is more of this kind of Big Brother movement that we are seeing more and more to intrude into our privacy for governments, for insurance companies to know more than they need to know.
Hmm. Well, and here's another issue too, and Walker, we can get you to comment on this. But, you know, this is – the Republicans sometimes deserve the criticism that they always appear to be on the side of big business or corporations and not on the side of the little guy. Now, that's the narrative that the Democrats spin, but this is one of those cases where I go, you know what, this is disturbing. A spokeswoman for the House committee that I think that was discussing this bill told the New York Times, and again, this is from the Fox News story. You can find this headline on One News Now. And this is what the spokeswoman said, quote, the legislation will reaffirm existing law and provide regulatory clarity so that employers can have the certainty they need to help lower health care costs for their employees, end quote. You know what I thought when I read that? Here's another instance in which the GOP appears to be on the side of employers helping to lower their health care costs for the employees by doing what? Right. By penalizing those who may have some genetic marker. We're not even sure at this point scientifically whether how much of a predictor those kinds of things are. Other factors may enter into it. Or they don't hire people that have the marker. So the employer is saying, this is how I can lower the health care costs for everyone, in parentheses, that means me, mm-hmm. the employer, and we're going to do that by looking through your genetic makeup and getting rid of or charging higher premiums for those of you who may have some genetic marker. You know, Walker, the thing that is frightening about this is not only the increase in surveillance, but it's the pressure, the tremendous pressure they would be putting on employees to give up that genetic material. We want your genetic material. I don't know how you do it. You spit in something. They take some blood. However, they do the tests. And if you don't do it, we're not going to hire you.
Yeah, this is another instance, and we same with healthcare. Well, this is healthcare related, but where the government, anytime the government puts their hand in things, they seem to always mess it up. I mean, any kind of system, whether it be healthcare or anything, they put their hands in it because they think they can fix it. They're all knowing, you know, they're all powerful. And then they realize they get in there and they have no idea what they're doing because you can't micromanage things like this. And so I don't think Democrat or Republican, they shouldn't be for this. And I don't think this shouldn't pass if
well,
it's even brought
and
up.
And Democrats are opposing it. You have groups like the ACLU. You know, I don't often agree with the American Civil Liberties Union, mm-hmm. but on something like this, I go, this is why the ACLU exists, should exist. Mm-hmm. Actual demonstrable threats to privacy by government interference in the private marketplace. But this is a frightening thing that employers, especially big companies who want to lower, listen, some sympathetic. We have high health care costs here at AFA, and you look at that and you go, wow, these things keep going up. For a huge corporation, it must be astronomical. But you can't demand that employees release their genetic material, especially since we've had all these cases where hacks occur.
Right.
Exactly. Credit card information goes out into the wherever all that stuff goes if it's released.
Yeah.
What happens if genetic information gets out?
Right,
what if
right.
someone hacks mm-hmm. and they look at my genetic information and they say, oh, he has a potential for this, he has a potential for that. Once that's out there, there's no getting it back.
Well, and I think one thing is you mentioned how sometimes it appears as though Republicans are on the side of big business, and I think that is the case here. But that being Republican elites, Republican leadership, I think you go down to more conservative Republicans, they'll probably agree with the Democrats on this. You know, this is none of the government's business. They shouldn't be
right.
in this. And so you do have, I would say, the higher end of the Republican Party, the leadership, they do seem to be in bed with big corporation, big business, big insurance on this. And I think that's because there's probably some campaign donations going on there.
Well, there's been conservatives. One of the ladies that we talk to a lot about, especially in the wake of Obamacare, Twyla Brace, out of Minnesota, I believe it is. And her group, that she has been warning about privacy concerns now all the way through. Because under Obamacare, remember, your doctor probably complained about this back several years ago. Well, I've got to type everything in now, that your blood pressure, your cholesterol levels, and all that sort of thing, and it's going to go into a big, huge database.
Right.
And there's been real concern about that. And now you add this kind of thing into the chemistry of all of this, and pretty soon your whole life is out there for somebody to grab. And it can have a tremendous impact. And we have to pull back from that. I like the idea of what this spokesman for this group said in this Fox News story. I think it's great for employers to have a wellness program.
Right.
Encourage people to eat properly. Encourage people to get some exercise. Because even if in your genes you have a potential for diabetes, proper nutrition, proper exercise will diminish the potential that you'll have a problem with this. Likewise with cancer. Proper eating. Just all of those things encourage that kind of thing, and that will keep healthcare costs down. But when you, this is more of a hammer over the heads of individuals. Mm-hmm. This is more of a threat, a gun to the head. You are going to provide this, or you don't get the job, or we charge you much more for health insurance.
Well, and what happens if this material gets out there? Let's say you have someone with a skill set that would best be met by working with a big corporation. Well, let's say your genetic markers are X, Y, and Z, and that information gets out there. Every time you go to apply for a job, are they gonna search for you on Google and find out which? What about if now I'm happily married man, been married for almost 36 years. But what if I was a young single man or a young single woman,
mm-hmm.
and is his or her genetic information going to be made available to potential spouses?
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking. I want to. You know, it's not just farmersonly.com. I'm also looking at your genetic
right.
makeup,
yeah.
and I see you might have a problem later on down the road. I'm not going
to.
I mean, the potential for not only embarrassment, but for doors being closed
yeah.
in life to people because of genetic makeup. And as far as I know, and I'm not a geneticist by any stretch of the imagination, these genes indicate tendencies. But that's it. Like you said, Fred, there's all kinds of ways in which we can change some of the, it's not fatalism. Mm. But these companies could treat it like fatalism. And then what are you going to do? Yeah. If you can't get a job somewhere because your name is on some genetic database that these companies are accessing.
So for our listeners, if you want to call your member of Congress, this is the Preserving Employee Wellness Programs Act. All right? You should be aware of this bill, Preserving Employee Wellness Programs Act. I love the names they give these things. Oh,
boy, they fancy them up.
Yeah.
There ought to be a congressional rule or a Senate rule where you – your name cannot be misleading. Your name cannot be misleading.
Yeah. Notice genetics is not mentioned in that name at all. It's Employee Wellness Programs Act. Who wouldn't be in favor of that?
It's kind of like the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah.
It turns out to be the most unaffordable thing.
We want to reveal your genetic makeup act.
Yeah.
That's right.
At least you're being honest.
Yeah. All right. What else we got? You got anything else we can squeeze in here?
Yeah, we'll try another thing that's coming up. I don't think President Trump has had a quiet week, you know, since he started. Also coming up this week, his budget. All right? And so we know he's already kind of put out there, for instance, the defense spending. He wants a $54 billion boost in that. But also what you're going to see and what the mainstream media will be out there grousing about is some of the cuts he wants to make to help pay for that. For instance, the elimination of a $3 billion community development block grant program that's popular among some GOP, but also a 25% cut to the EPA, elimination of 3,000 jobs there, and essentially scuttling a $300 million per year program to clean up the Great Lakes. Now, I'm reading from an Associated Press story, folks. Be very, very careful. Because the media is spinning this as, you know, you don't care about pollution anymore. It's not about that at all. It's about some of the ridiculous rules. And we saw that President Obama brought in that were putting the livelihood of farmers in jeopardy because their cows couldn't drink water from a stream.
Right.
You know, all of those kinds of things. So what they're trying to do is pull back from that. We know our federal government became extremely blouted under President Barack Obama, hiring like you wouldn't believe. Every time a rule came in, that means hiring more people to police those rules.
Right.
And so what President Trump wants to do is cut back. Again, this is one of the things he promised during the election campaign. He was going to cut back. One of the other things that's been floated out there, let's get rid of the Education Department. Why? Education is supposed to be a state-run entity. Because it's more close to the grassroots of education of your kid. Why have the federal government involved? But I tell you what, if it's in his budget that he wants to get rid of the education department, you watch out. The teachers union will go ballistic.
That'll be a war.
And it'll be a bringing back, because we know federal dollars, billions of dollars, are being pumped into school systems. And it's being used, again, as a hammer over the heads of school systems. President Barack Obama used it right towards the end of his presidency on the transgender bathroom bill. We'll take away your billions of dollars for your school lunch programs if you don't comply with the president's directive. And I think what President Trump wants to do is have the federal government back away from this kind of thing.
You know, that sounds very refreshing. And also, he's a very smart man because he placed two individuals, the Department of Education and the EPA, he put two individuals in charge of those departments who really don't love or they're not really obsessed with those departments. I mean, they're willing to do their job. You know, they love education. They love protecting the environment, but they would probably be okay with cutting their budget a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, folks, we are going to take a 5-minute break for news. And when we come back, Ed Vitagliano, Walker Wyman will still be with you. We'll be bringing in Steve Jordahl, reporter and news anchor for American Family News, to continue discussing the news of the day. Fred Jackson, thank you so much for being with us.
You're absolutely welcome.
All right, 5-minute break for news. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. And when we come back, we will go right back to the stories that interest you and affect you, all from a Christian perspective.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.